All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is April 23rd, 2015, and this is the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Public Safety. I am going to open an informational meeting, I guess. And we are going to see the Mothering Inside video, and then we're going to have some Q&A with some of the participants and folks who are here.
Can I make a comment or two?
Senator Shields.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So there is a policy bill, Senate Bill 939, that is complementary to another effort that Representative Williamson is working on in the House. Representative Williamson's bill will help divert mothers from incarceration, and ours is complementary to that, noting that even if we do a very good job with diversion, there's still going to be the need for this program behind bars. So I think that regardless of what you might think of the Family Preservation Project, the reason we're showing this is not just to sell this program, but to give the broader context of the challenges that happen to families when women are incarcerated and the challenges that their children face. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Cue the video.
And we have popcorn?
No.
Really?
No. He was joking.
Cruel joke.
Yes, it was a cruel joke.
You know that mom talked to his teacher on the phone, and your teacher said that you were really good, which I know. What are you going to do today with mom?
No. I'm a perfect girl, Mom.
Your picture? You have all your pictures are up there.
I told my son that I'm in a timeout and that I broke rules. And, you know, just like your toys get taken away when you're young, if you do things when you're older, you get taken away from your family, and that's your punishment. My son thinks that I've been here my whole life. He doesn't understand I've been here his whole life, not mine. So he's really excited to turn six because he knows I come home when he's six.
We're almost there, Ben.
So let's go around and check in and parenting goal for today.
So I'm just excited to see her, and my parenting goal is to let her lead.
My goal is have fun. I'm going to talk to him about how his birthday out there went with his dad.
My parenting goal today is to spend some time with them and show them some baby pictures of when they were babies and work on their Spanish. So I'm really excited about that.
Thank you. All right, well, we should go get the kids.
Okay.
I don't think society realizes that when they send a mother to prison, they send the entire family. The program itself, it has so many different levels and dynamics to it. Part of it is family reunification. The other part is parent education and teaching you new tools and coping skills as a mother.
Last year, before I started contacting my daughter, I felt like I had failed her so much that any contact with me would be more pain for her. I thought she was better off without me. The staff in this program really talked me through a lot of that. It took him 5 months to convince me to make a phone call. And I never thought I'd be able to, you know, call my daughter and see how her school day is going. She loves me, and she forgives me. And it makes it so that I can forgive me.
Hi, Feifei, what are you doing? Oh, I love you. Oh. I love you. I love you.
Thank you.
When are you going to come and see me? When are you going to come and see me?
I'm going to come here to see you tomorrow.
Okay, I love you, and I'll see you then, okay?
Good job. Mwah.
Okay, hang up.
Hug. Are you hugging the phone?
I am hugging myself, and that means I'm hugging you. Do you feel it?
Well, I hope that
when
she gets that job,
it's easy. You're so cute. Okay, I love you.
I love you.
I love you more.
I love you more.
Okay, hang up.
To know that when he's sick, I can't take care of him, or, you know, all these milestones happen and you're here. It's terrible. Thinking, is my son warm? Is he comfortable? Is he thinking of me? Does he think I left him on purpose? That's when it gets hard.
The whole experience of becoming involved in the justice system and maybe addiction and maybe child welfare was just reinforced constantly that not only are you a bad citizen, but you're also a bad mother, and it really takes a lot to sort of break through it. We're going to dedicate today to just welcoming the new families and to having them feel a part of this and included. So,
welcome, girls.
I'm loving Lynetta. You guys put too much on it.
I'm a kitten, and my name's Kiana.
Kitten Kiana. I have 4 kids. Well, I have 6 total, but 4 of them will be coming to visit me.
Tomorrow will be the first time that I have seen him since my incarceration, which has been a little over 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm very happy to be here.
And I want you guys to know that you can be safe in this environment, and it's okay to learn different things, you know, be open to different things. I had to learn that, and it took me a long time, and I've been here for 5 years, and I'm still learning. So my wishes for you guys are to rebuild bonds with your children.
I'm very happy and I'm very grateful, but I'm still nervous, you know, so I appreciate all the support and help.
I was really, really nervous also, and I also felt really guilty about being nervous because yeah. It was like, this is my kid, why would I be nervous about seeing my kid? That makes no sense.
And if they're not like, Mom, don't let it break your heart, because that happened to me, and I was like, oh, you don't know me? But they do know you, there's just all these emotions.
Just remember that it gets better.
They come back,
and it gets better.
I mean, without this program, I wouldn't be able to see my children. You know, once a month and visiting, and no offense against DOC, but, you know, there's officers there, and it's in a confined area where you're just at a table, and it makes it hard for the children's walls to come down. With FPP, it's just very close-knit, you know? I mean, it just makes it comfortable, and they're, you know, they're able to let their guard down, and so am I.
I made you something.
I made you something.
No! You see when we get in there.
So I got taller.
You got taller.
Yeah, I know.
In like 2 weeks she grew. I'm not even joking.
I won't. I'm not going to stop.
When I saw her in the door, I was like, is she wearing heels? She better not be wearing heels. I will freak out.
I never wear heels.
Good.
Yes. You don't need to.
Yeah. Only grandma's heels to play in.
And grandma's heels.
Yeah. I only play in grandma's heels.
I might have a little picture.
Nice. Do you still use it for school?
Yeah.
Every day? That's pretty cool. I'm proud of you.
That's mine.
It's yours?
My 4-year-old daughter, Phasia, I found out I was pregnant in county jail. I spent less than 24 hours with her in the hospital.
When she first started coming, she really didn't want anything to do with me because she didn't know me. She went to everybody else, everybody but me. And no matter how much love I showed her, how much I reiterated that it was okay, or told her that I loved her, she still didn't want any part of me.
Now that she's seen that I'm here and I'm supportive and I love her and I'm here to make things right between what we really didn't have but we're growing to have.
Yep, you're doing a good job.
It's so funny because she looks to me for more things now. It's not like I'm looking to her for something. It's like I'm actually being a parent and I'm helping her, not she's helping me, because I didn't know what to do at first. I didn't know what being a parent to her was. But now it's like, I know my role and she gives me that.
It's lunchtime. You ready for lunch?
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna do this after.
We eat?
Yeah. I still wanna do these colors and shapes, okay?
Yes, baby.
Okay?
I'm gonna grab my lunch.
Okay? Okay?
Yeah.
All right. It's a deal? Shake on it. Okay.
You wanna talk about it? You wanna take your shoes off and get comfortable? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling?
Good. Look at that.
Come here.
I don't like it.
What's up, baby girl? You just want to cuddle?
Want me to sing? No. You are my sunshine. My little sunshine. Make me happy. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. So please don't take Sophia away.
Is that better? Does that make you feel better? It makes me feel better, too. This is what makes me feel better, huh?
Ooh. What?
What? There's something all over your mouth.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Milk in Spanish.
Leche.
High five. Good job. Okay, how about one? Can you say one?
Uno.
High five.
You can go potty, but I can't take it.
No.
Phasia.
Hey, come here.
Go to the
There's a lot of rules here.
You hear me?
You know what I mean? That's why you never want to be in a place like this.
Who that?
That's Elijah, and that's you, and that's mommy. You were only a week old. Yeah.
You traded me, mommy.
I promise I would never trade you.
You always do.
Look at, who's that?
I don't know.
That's you.
That's me.
They were 4 and 2 when I got here. They're very loving and bright and amazing. And it really hurts to see them go through some of their difficulties that they have because of my situation and my choices. And we're just getting to the point where they trust me and they're okay to talk to me and they're okay to tell me how they feel.
Give you a surprise.
Okay, bring the picture and bring your stuff and we can come give you a surprise out here, okay?
It gave me some of my hope and my pride back because I got to be a mom again. I got to be a real person. And it became more than just inside these walls where you try to block everything out. You become a human. You become open and willing and wanting because you see at the end of the tunnel. You know, when those children come, it's you see your hope again. you see your life again.
There was an old lady who swallowed a dog. Swallow a dog? She swallowed a dog to catch a cat. Fancy that.
See if we can find it. Hey, he's barely peeking on us in that one.
Oh, yikes, with spikes all down my spine. Or here, that's a porcupine. I still would be the same, you see. I like myself because I'm me.
I know. I can feel by her head.
No other mom in the world would love you as much as I do. Who would? I mean, they would because you're a lovable boy, but they could never
match my love.
We're gonna sing our song, okay?
Goodbye, goodbye, so long farewell. Goodbye, Sophia, goodbye to Benny, goodbye to our moms and friends. Goodbye to Phasia, goodbye to Raina, goodbye to our moms and friends. Goodbye to Nikki, goodbye to Lee, we'll see you all again.
Let's make sure he can see everybody.
Make sure we can see your nose. You're good. Okay.
I don't want to go. I love you too, Mommy.
Just worry about being a second grader, okay?
Sure.
I'll be home soon, I promise.
One more hug.
Love you.
I love you, baby. Be good, okay? I'll call you. Here, take this stuff.
You, baby.
I love you.
So you don't drop your book.
I love you, princess. Bye.
You got it? You okay?
Bye, Ronnie. I love you.
Bye, baby girl.
Love you too. Yes.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you too.
Love you.
You had it?
Love you.
Bye, baby.
Bye, Mommy.
I reread this and it is like, I'm an evil person, I'm an evil person, I'm an evil person. You talked about yourself being kind of messed up, right? That you talked about it more the way I think I see it, which is that you have made some really poor choices in your life that have landed you in some not fun places.
Here I am in prison at 35.
You're a wonderful mom who loves her son, who turned her whole life around, but had made poor choices before that and had to now come to prison to pay for those choices.
It's kind of fitting time because it's like Mother's Day too. So maybe this will like release the burden a little bit off of her. My mom is like the whole reason that I see my son. If it wasn't for my mom, I would never see him because she gets him here and it's just, they keep money on my phone so I can call and it's just stuff that you shouldn't have to do. What do you mean? Hi. Mom, please don't start already. Holy Christ, we just got here. Do you want to know the details of the day I got caught?
I'll tell you the details that I remember. Go ahead. It's good. It's healing.
We took Vinny to the park, and he was running and playing with a soccer ball. And he was so cute. He was not even taller than the grass, and he kept running and falling.
And you were on the phone with Daddy 100 times, telling him every time.
And we came home. A cop was hiding behind a car waiting for me, and he pulled me over. And I can't even... I don't even know how to explain how that felt, because
it was definitely a nightmare to any parent, but I'm just happy that you're still here. Somehow you just steered down the wrong path, but I don't think it's intentional. Nobody intentionally wants to screw up their life. So you have an opportunity to change it.
I just want to be somebody that my son looks at and he's like, my mom went through some really bad stuff, but she, look at her. You know, I want to be that person that is the success story.
I think that realizing that there are little pieces of happiness everywhere, even if you have to squeeze your brain to find them, gives you a reason to be hopeful. There's life after here, you know? Thank God.
Why do you suppose we're doing this exercise?
We did this exercise so we can look for where we come from, to where we are, and what we want to change in our life.
And what we want for our children, or the things that we don't want from our children, or the traits that we want to pass on to our children and the traits we don't want to pass on to our children.
The consistencies of things that have happened, and maybe thinking of how we can break the cycle of whether it be addiction or abuse or whatever it may be, like just seeing the patterns in the family.
It's important to have something put out in front of you like this, because then you are more aware and you can see the things that you need to work on to break the cycle.
When I was growing up, my dad wasn't there for me. Not like that, you know. And one time my dad's now wife got drunk and told me while I was staying in the house with three of my kids that my dad never really even wanted me. I have this thing that I had to let go of, wanting to be bottled up and not wanting to let anybody in or know anything about me. And that was something I had to let go. And with letting go, that means opening up and sharing stuff like this, even though it might not be the best. You know, I didn't have the best life. I didn't do the best things. I want my life to be open and to be able to share with people. You know, I can't be the person that I want to be without opening up what's inside of me. This is finally where I need to be. I'm not this person that I was told so many times that I was. I'm not, you know, I'm not a hoe, I'm not a bitch, you know, I can do better. Like, no, I was told nobody wants you because you got so many kids and da da da, and you can't do anything. That was my life, and that's what I based my life on. And when I got into my drug use, I was nothing but a drug addict whore and da da da. But I had to change that. For me to completely change my life, and to be there for my children, I had to change myself. And so that was the steps that I took to changing myself, was changing my thinking, because I'm not that person that I told that I was.
You're connecting the dots, and that's what this is all really about.
Well, I think you're amazing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bring it in, crybaby.
Because you've been through a lot, and you've put people through a lot, you know, you sometimes lose compassion for yourself. And
makes you grateful for where you are now.
Right. And so understanding, you know, the path and understand making those connections and also starting to have some compassion for yourself helps you move through the guilt and the shame and all that stuff you have to move through so that you can just be present.
Hey, what? Hey, I
love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.
It's time for quiet reading time.
Done. Wait, period. I love you, Mom.
I love you too, buddy.
Let's open it up for wins.
He was sitting in the kitchen by himself, and my parents have a candle on the table, and my dad said that he pretended to blow the candle out, and then he closed his eyes and he said, I wish my mommy was here.
I talked to Nikki the other day. He was in a bad mood because he couldn't get his moves right, his karate moves right. I said, oh, you're taking karate? He goes, no, but I got some moves.
For everybody that didn't know, I talked to my son last night for an hour. I love him. He's great. He's so funny. He doesn't sound like my baby anymore.
Yes.
So my brother's adding on to his house so that I can go and move with him.
Yep. Yay.
Hey. It does have a red roof, and he's adding on to his home. So like the garage, he's going to turn it. They're going to actually put walls up and carpet and turn it into my bedroom.
My brother, he's probably about third grade, I'm probably in like the first grade. And we'd come home from school, and he used to, every single day, he would be like, okay, let me brush your hair, and he would brush my hair, and he would be like, all right, let's go, and he would hold my hand, and we'd go door to door down like neighborhoods, we'd walk really far, and he'd knock on doors, and he'd be like, we just wanted to know if you have any yard work we can do, you know, and that taught me. So that's one of it's a low point, because to be a child that young and that hungry, that your brother, you know, is literally feeding you from working on his hands and knees and pulling weeds. But it also gave me a sense of love and a sense of protection and a sense of that regardless what was going on in my life, that there was somebody there who cared.
Katrina is a wonderful person. She's my little sister. She is the other half of me, and together we form our mother. I see a lot of what me and Trina went through in our lives. Their rock and their foundation is seeing their mother. It means the world to them. From the time they wake up to the time they go to bed, it's just, they look forward to making it through that day so they can get the day closer to seeing their mother. I love my sister very much. She's a beautiful person. I'll do anything for her. And I think a lot of people lose focus of family and how much it means.
There's so much suffering that happens when a mother particularly comes to prison, their own suffering and their children's suffering, and the gift of helping to relieve some of the human suffering is powerful.
I feel all of a sudden a loss of hope. Just doesn't make sense. It's very frustrating, and it shouldn't be this way, especially with a program like this. It's not fair.
I think we're all just still in a state of denial about the whole situation, and like we've just been working really hard and we just don't want to give up hope, because for a lot of us, you know, for some of us we won't get to see our kids without FPP at all. So and I don't know, you know, I do know who's really being hurt from, you know, the choices we made and then all these things. It's the kids. So something's got to give.
Well, and I mean, we've
done, made our mistakes, and we've held ourselves accountable, and we, you know, are trying to move forward in life, and yet somehow we're continuing to make our children suffer. And how is that?
It sucks.
It does suck.
It just continues this cycle.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
It's not.
Just continuing the revolving door.
Goodbye, goodbye, so long farewell. Goodbye, Celine, goodbye, Sophia, we'll see you all again. Goodbye, goodbye, so long farewell. Goodbye, Josiah, goodbye, Kayvon.
Have a good time?
Yeah.
Sometimes having to leave is the hard part, huh?
Hi, Rachel. Nice to meet you.
Yeah?
You have fun.
Okay. We're done.
You want me to turn it over? You got a bag of stuff here, too.
Okay.
Is this your water bottle?
I have a
bag. You know what? Ultimately, these families have been kicked to the curb so many times. They'll come out of this okay. And I just thought to myself, that really doesn't make it okay. That's sort of reinforcing this belief system that, you know, they are people who deserve less and that they're getting what they deserve.
It's yours?
Yeah, it's
yours. It's yours.
I was like,
oh, my God. Thank you very much. Questions from the panel? Any questions for the participants? Senator, do you have?
Maybe if one of the women could come up. There was one question that I've been trying to address with DOC and the governor's office on. I'd heard that some women are not going to be able to see their kids now that the program has been closed. I've talked to the governor's staff about that. They're working on changing that. Someone, maybe Jessica, give us an update, or Nova, on how many women had the program and the kids had the program, but now, because of circumstances, can't see their kids.
Well, please say your name for the record.
Okay. My name's Nova Sweet, and I am a Family Preservation Project participant. My children are here with me. I just spoke with Ashley, who I believe is the main person that we're speaking of. There's actually more than one woman that's not able to see their children because of inconsistent caregivers or caregivers who have criminal records, so they cannot be on the visiting the list to bring in their children, which was great about a program such as FPP or any future programs is the ability for the caregivers to drop off the child and then staff, not DOC staff, but program staff, whomever they may be, oversee the kids. So Angie Shearer, who recently started treatment, thankfully, and will be home in 6 months, has not been able to see her newly four-year-old son, Tristan. She was the woman who was hugging the boy in the red jacket and had said, she was one of the new people who said that she would be her first time seeing her son since being incarcerated. There's also a woman named Miriam. All these women have gotten into treatment since I've left Coffee Creek, which I'm ecstatic about because that means they get to go home soon. Miriam has a little boy named Jack who has a caregiver who uses the child as a carrot for their relationship. So as long as Mimi is pursuing a relationship with this gentleman, he will bring the child to see the mom. But she's trying to set different boundaries for her life, and so does she play that game or does she not? Does she play that game or does she not? So the visits are completely based on that. My understanding is that she's not been willing to play that game because she doesn't want to send the kid mixed messages, but I have not spoke with her directly. Then we have Autumn, who recently went through a divorce, and her caregiver was very consistent bringing their kids to FPP, but now that they have to actually sit in the same visiting room together and tolerate each other, that doesn't happen quite as often as well. My sense that Autumn, in particular, she had the two kids, the one daughter who was sleeping and did the cupcake on the face, and then the other son who wouldn't give the piggyback ride, is that she's not seeing her children. She's very hopeless. She's dejected. She's not in treatment. She has about another year in front of her, and has lost hope. It's the best way I can say it. That's exactly out of her mouth. I've lost hope. Let me see if I forget. Oh, there's Cody, who has little boy Nikki, who is practicing his karate moves, even though he doesn't take karate. Nikki's father just went back to prison. And Nikki's caregiver, grandma, who's the father's mom, is very old and cannot drive, shouldn't be driving, one of those things. And so the only way she gets to see Nikki is if Autumn's caregiver, Brett, the divorced man, brings the child, which there's at DOC you're not allowed to have. Like, I couldn't sit at a table with another inmate and have our families visit. That's just not allowed. So that creates a whole other gamut of problems because now Nikki, this little six-year-old boy, can't come into the prison because his grandma's too old, his dad's in prison, and the person who can give him a ride can't bring in somebody else's kids. So there's all sorts, you name the story, there's all sorts of different things, which makes sense from a safety perspective. You can't do these things. There's people that have done things wrong, which is why there's rules in place, which is, I'm not trying to downplay that at all. That makes sense. But it also makes sense to help children stay connected to their parents. So.
Representative Barker?
Thank you. I just wonder, I don't know the rules, so there must be church groups and so on. Couldn't somebody of that group be like a caregiver to get those children in that when the grandma's too old, couldn't somebody else bring him down? I understand the problem if somebody can't bring two families. But
yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea. The trick there would be anybody to come to visiting has to be on a visiting list. So maybe there would be a church person. If I'm not connected to a church, then I'm going to have to make a relationship with somebody, which means then they're going to have to make sure I have their driver's license number, their address, all these things to submit their information. And I do know that many church people come in and do Bible studies.
Sure.
I have no idea how that would even happen.
Or like, so if I knew somebody that I could get a visiting, if I knew you and you put me on your visitors list, could I bring your children even though they were not related?
Yes, absolutely. The trick on that is that the visiting room, the rooms that you guys saw us visiting with our kids are in a program building on the Coffee Creek campus, which is designated for GEDs and different programming, not a visiting room. The visiting rooms are very different. The floors don't have carpet on them.
Right.
There's officers around, and the rules are very strict. And the by policy, if your child's under a certain age, they are allowed to sit on your lap. You are allowed to walk over to this little corner of a room and look at books with them. You aren't allowed to go to vending machines or share food for that matter. However, like with any place, even though policy is one way, however the officers interpret those rules are different. So there has been numerous times, not for myself, but for other girls, that kids have not been allowed to sit on laps. You've not been allowed to get up and go and get a coloring sheet with your child. And because certain officers have had experiences where that's not worked out well for them, so they just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's not conducive to forming any sort of relationship. And then the kids know. They know that they're supposed to sit here and be quiet because you guys, they're not sure about what they're supposed to be doing in here. So imagine an officer with a suit on. Mm-hmm. They're really going to not even pay attention to hugging mom. Mm-hmm. You want to say something?
Just make sure you say your name first.
My name is Josiah.
What's your last name?
Guerrero.
OK.
Okay.
And I got this picture because it says families, and my aunt, she has like a painting of pictures, and it says family in our bathroom. And the first time I actually went to my mom, I didn't know who she was, so I just went to everybody else except for her. Just like when it said in the movie when I think that little girl didn't go to her mom, she went to everybody else. Phaedra.
What do you want to, what about the kids that are still have moms in prison? Do you want to say anything about that? What do you want to say? What would you like these people to know about kids seeing their parents in prison? Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
It's a kind of good idea because you get to spend time with your moms.
And what does that help with?
Their moms and their children.
What do they get to do?
Spend time with them.
Thank you.
My name's Kevana Jalali Guerrero. Here was just the things I was writing. I was very scared when I first went to FPP. I bet the other kids were very scared. To some of them, they were crying, and my mom, they just gave my mom back to me. We have a family now. That is all it was, and to keep our feelings, it was kind of hard to keep our feelings inside, because once we see our mom when we're little, we don't know who she is, and the sad part is when everyone has to leave, and when we all have to leave, you break up in tears because we are having so much fun, now we have to leave.
That was very apparent in the movie. Good job, guys.
She actually has that written out down here.
No, good job. Good job.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. Questions? Yeah. So I just want to say one other thing. I want to introduce you to somebody that is, for many people... Oh, did you want to say something? Okay, this is my dog. For many people, it is a statistic. He's a young black man who is more likely to go to prison because of his color. And even more so, his father was in prison and his mother just recently released from prison. And he was also a participant in the Family Preservation Project. It's my son, Marco Brewer. And I asked him the other day, well, what did you think about the program? And he had some really neat things to say. So I'm hoping, will you come up here and say something? He's also in a child development class. He's a freshman in high school. And so has a whole unique perspective on what this means for people.
Excellent.
State your name, honey.
Okay. My name is Marco Brewer. I wasn't really prepared, but I noticed I didn't really go to FPP very much, just because I didn't really have to be in like contact with my mom because I'm old enough. I've known her, or she wasn't in jail most of my life. But my sister Malik. When she would have friends over, and like I noticed this, when she would have friends over and they would talk about their moms, she couldn't really say anything or like relate. And then like through FPP, when they could actually do stuff and play together, then I don't know, she came home with lots of stories and stuff about her mom, and then just had a better connection. I thought that was important. So yeah.
So it was important watching your sister make that connection?
Because also her dad wasn't around either, so it was kind of just...
What did you think it did for our family when I got out?
Oh, yeah, it sped things up. We didn't have to start from a new spot when she got out. It was kind of just rolling like she was our mom, and it wasn't like she was new or anything. Huh. It was like...
That's great.
One of the reasons why, my name is Katrina Going. One of the reasons why that is so important, the family preservation, is because our children are 75% more likely to go to prison than anybody else's children for the fact that we've been there. And the reason why we fight for this bill and we think it is so important is for the fact that we don't want our children to make the same mistakes we've made. And we are utilizing the mistakes that we made to teach them, to show them that there's a better way. It's very, very important that they realize that our mistakes do not define who they are or where they're going to go in their lives or what they're going to become. And so with that being said, we hope that other children whose parents are incarcerated will get that same message. That because you've made a mistake, it does not define who you are. Because your parents made a mistake, that also doesn't define who you are. And one of the things that the Family Preservation Project gives us is that way to show our children that, yes, we've made a mistake, but this is what you can do to correct your life. And I feel like that other 75% of women and families and men whose children go to prison, they don't get that chance. They don't get that opportunity. And so they do allow their mistakes to define, or their parents' mistakes to define their lives. And I think it is just very important that that we realize that the reason why we fight for these programs and the reason why these programs are important is for the next generation of children that are coming. Mm-hmm. For the next people who may make that mistake, that their children also don't have to suffer for the mistakes that we've made. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kaywana Guerrero, I just wanted to say was... Some kids would turn out like so I asked my mom once, would I grow up like to be like you? And she says, what do you mean? And I say, well, I know my brother's not older than me, but I'm older than him. But I would turn out like my mom, like how everything's been. And she's like, no, you're going to start your own life. And I was like, well, most of the time, some kids are thinking, I'm going to be like my mom. I'm going to be like my dad. Well, you need to learn that you can also be yourself, start your own life, and not always be like your mom and dad.
Thank you. So we've got about five more minutes.
Okay, my name's Ashley Doherty, and this is not my baby, but it's a really cute one. mine is actually Sophia, and my story's pretty intense with the fact that if it wasn't for this program, I probably wouldn't have a relationship. I don't know what my relationship would be with my daughter. I had DHS involvement. They wanted to terminate my rights. And quick story, you know, within 6 months of me joining the program, they went from trying to terminate my parental rights to getting me a durable guardianship. And in that case, you know, I'll be able to get her back in my care when I'm able. You know, I've just been out about a month and a half now, and we have an amazing relationship. And the things that I've learned in the program, you know, just like being able to be a real parent and being able to say no and be okay with it and being able to learn to actually be an active parent and not just in the visiting room just trying to make them happy and give them junk food and, you know, make them laugh for an hour with, you know, all the tense, you know, stress around, and just really actually parent and get that experience, because I was gone for 4 years of her life. At a young age for her, that's a big deal. So we have an amazing relationship, and it's just this program, like, I don't know what my life would have been like without it.
Thank you. This is going to be our last witness, because the House goes into session at 2 o'clock.
Okay. So. My name's Nicole Edwards. I've been out for 15 months, and I recently had a baby.
Is that your baby?
Yes.
The cute baby?
Thank you.
Cute baby.
And I got married, and, like, I haven't even thought about going and doing anything other than being a mom, because this program has helped me. This program helped me learn how to be a mom. My oldest daughter, Victoria, she's 8. She wasn't able to be here today. The other day she says, what? FPP's closing down? And I said, well, it already did, honey. She goes, can't we do like a bake sale or something to help it reopen? There's all those moms that need to see their kids. And I said, yeah, that's true, honey, but a bake sale is kind of a little piece of it. It's a bigger piece. And I just had to try to explain to her, and she was in tears. She was like, well, we could have a bake sale every day. And I was like, well, we can't. And I just have to explain that to her, you know, because of how much the program meant to her was visible at that moment when I told her. And it's just sad to know that there is women that don't get to be a greater part of that and see that what it has given us as a family. I never thought I was going to be a part of my daughter's life ever again. And FPP made that possible. They talked to my daughter's caregiver and just totally worked it out so it happened. And they were going to try it one time, and every single time they were there. They didn't miss not one time, I don't think. And FPP, like, it's not just about just seeing our kids. It worked on some of my other issues that I didn't, weren't even visible to me. But, like, we got to the core of it, and it helped me be the person I am today.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. With that, I'm going to close the informational hearing. Ms. Gilbert, what's up next week?
Remarkably good question. When am I going to do the schedule?
Because the road show, Klamath Falls, tomorrow.
Just show up at 1 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sure it's fine. Whatever it is going to be great. With that, I will adjourn this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
With that, I will adjourn this meeting. Thank you.